Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ Today session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 7, Episode 14 of this Daily Study Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. As you'll notice, we didn't record last week, or I didn't record last week. It was half term and I always find it more challenging to do so in the holidays, not because I don't do my study or anything like that, but because it's harder to find a time and space to be alone and peaceful and quiet to record these in my house when it is the holidays. So yeah, back to regular routine and back to recording these sessions. I'm going to go with the Come Follow Me study for this week, which covers Doctrine and Covenants section 18. Only one section this week, and it is a fairly lengthy section, but it's not a huge section. But it is such a pivotal and a really powerful one as well. So it's lovely that we get a whole week to look at this section alone. The background for this revelation is that the this revelation was given in response to Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery and David Whitmer. They were seeking instruction and guidance on how to set up the church, how to organize the church, but also there's a lot of focus in this section about how to or what the apostles ought to do as well, how to set up and how to organize the apostles and what instruction to give to them. So at the start, there is a guide, an instruction or a guidance about how to build up the church. And there's not a lot in there I want to kind of cover in verses 1 to 5, but it does say here in verse 2, and the Lord is speaking specifically to Oliver Cowdery here. He says, "Behold, I have manifested unto you by my Spirit in many instances that the things which you have written are true, wherefore you know that they are true." So he's speaking about here the Book of Mormon, and how the he tells them how the Book of Mormon is an important keystone, isn't for want of a better word, of how to organize and set up the church. So that I think is interesting because I don't think we sometimes see the Book of Mormon as a handbook, for want of a better word, to help set up and establish the church. But when you look at it, there are a number of things in there about the organization of a church, which are principles which the church is built on today. So I think that is an interesting insight there. We then continue on through the section, and the Lord then moves on to speaking about the worth of souls. And this is probably what this section is most well known for, is the discussion about the individuals that we work with. So we'll spend quite a bit of time here. So the worth of souls is great. And the question about, you know, how do we work out a soul's worth is important. I think one of the biggest things that Satan tries to do in our lives today, as well as distraction and discontent and kind of drawing people away through this distraction, is also to try and get us to feel that we are of little value and our self-worth is low. You look at all kind of the tactics he uses, and a lot are kind of focused towards bringing people down and not helping them or getting them to forget how they are children of God. In verse 10, we read, "Remember, the worth of souls is great in the sight of God." Truly a verse which is such an important one to help us understand the importance that we have in the Lord's eyes, and we often put ourselves down for that. And then in verse 11, though, it says, "For behold, the Lord your Redeemer suffered death in the flesh, wherefore he suffered the pain of all men, that all men might repent and come unto him." Now, I love this statement by the Lord because it is a reminder that what the Saviour did, he did for each of individual of mankind. We sometimes see it again as this kind of huge all mankind saving act, which it indeed is, the atonement of Jesus Christ, but it was done for the individuals. It was done for the one. President Russell M. Nelson said, quote, "The ordeal of the atonement centered about the city of Jerusalem. There, the greatest single act of love in all recorded history took place. There in the garden, bearing the name Hebrew name of Gethsemane, meaning oil press, olives have been beaten and pressed to provide food, oil and food. There at Gethsemane, the Lord suffered the pain of all men, that all might repent and come unto him. He took upon himself the weight of the sins of all mankind, bearing its massive load that caused him to bleed every pore." Close quote. Indeed, the Lord did this, but we read often in many places in Scripture that the Lord is focused on the individual, and he would have done it even if it was for one person, but he did it for all mankind, that all individuals may repent and return to him. We'll continue with this section tomorrow, but I think it is such a powerful one, which I'm looking forward to diving into properly. Thank you so much for listening today, and until we meet again.